I'm David Delegater. There are hundreds, perhaps thousands, of iconic American pop songs, but none that sound vaguely like this.
Mother-in-law.
This song, Mother-in-Law, was the first tune from New Orleans to top both the pop and R&B charts. Its singer, Ernie Cato, and his music reflected elements of rock and roll, rhythm and blues, zydeco and gospel, Africa and the Caribbean. The energy of his performances was legendary, and he's an influential, iconic figure in the landscape of American and British pop music, and in a town where surreality is the expected behavioral norm, Cato's idiosyncratic lifestyle set a new standard of delight for all New Orleanians. Ernie Cato, the R&B Emperor of New Orleans, is a masterful new biography of one of New Orleans' most influential musicians. Its author, Ben Sandmel, is with us today. Sandmel is a New Orleans-based journalist, folklorist, drummer, and producer, and his articles about Louisiana music have appeared in numerous national publications. His liner notes for over 100 albums have covered a wide range of traditional musical genres. Ben Sandmel, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Oh, thank you for having me.
The book on Ernie Cato that you wrote is really marvelous. It's like reading a history of the last 50 years of music in New Orleans, really. Why did you choose to do a book on Cato, of all people?
Well, I found him to be a really fascinating guy. I spent a fair amount of time with him. He opened his lounge in the mid-90s. I started going there on Sunday nights, did some interviews with him. I wrote an article about him. And in 1999, this article came out in the weekly paper in New Orleans, Gambit Weekly. It was about a 1,500, 2,000-word article. I realized then that an article was just not sufficient space to cover everything that was going on with his story and the scene at the lounge. I decided to write a book. I wasn't quite sure what direction it would take. I had just had a book come out about zydeco music. And not long after that, I was at Cato's bar, the Mother-in-Law Lounge, and out of nowhere, he just turned to me and said, "You need to write a book about me." So his idea and my idea, the two were convergent, and it kind of went from there. But as you said, it's not just a book about Cato. It's meant to open a window on New Orleans music and New Orleans culture and the appreciation of street surrealism in New Orleans.
Tell me a little bit about Cato's origins, about where he fits into the whole New Orleans music scene, how he came up, what he did.
The first thing I would say is that Cato is right up there in the top tier, the upper echelon of great New Orleans rhythm and blues singers, others being Fats Domino, Smiley Lewis, Irma Thomas, Shirley and Lee Dorsey, Dr. John, Frankie Ford, people of that caliber, and many others besides. In his latter days, he was known primarily for his flamboyance and eccentricity, so that some people forget that he was also a top-notch musician who left behind a legacy of great recordings. And he was born in 1936, made his first records as a teenager in Chicago, actually, somewhat of a Nat King Cole impersonator, just like Ray Charles was early on. He came back to New Orleans and was in a doo-wop group called the Blue Diamonds. They did one record that didn't do very well, and they did a couple of other records that didn't do particularly well. And then in 1959, he signed with a newly formed label called Minute Records, M-I-N-I-T, and they changed his given last name, Kador, K-A-D-O-R, to Cato, K-D-O-E. With Minute Records, he made some great records, probably the records for which he is best known as a New Orleans rhythm and blues artist. And one of them, Mother-in-Law, was the number one record on the Billboard charts, both the pop charts and the R&B charts, in the spring of 1961. This was a huge accomplishment for a small record label and a 25-year-old artist who'd never had any big hits before.
Wasn't it kind of astounding thing that it was number one on both charts at the same time?
You know, I had never thought of that. The appeal of good music is universal, and there was also a certain comedic novelty aspect to the record. Although, if you listen to the way he sings it, he sounds angry. There's no implied nods or winks or smiles. It's a hostile sort of song, I think. It's not sung as a novelty comedic record, but it was perceived that way. something like Yakety Yak by the Coasters, say. And the theme of people not getting along with their mother-in-laws is pretty universal. And it was a great record, very catchy. I imagine there are other records that had a similar crossover, but I'm not sure how many of them and whether he was the first. That would be a good topic for exploration.
From reading the book, it seemed like he worked with virtually everybody in the city, jazz musicians, R&B guys. Everyone wanted to work with him as well.
He was a good guy to work for as a band leader. He paid his musicians well, and he always paid them. He was a very dynamic performer. So he worked with just about everyone in New Orleans, and he also worked with a lot of national-level rhythm and blues artists, such as the Coasters and Jerry Butler and other people who had big records at the time. So Cato was very much liked and respected in the New Orleans music community. People thought he was a little bit out there, which he was, but they respected his musicianship, and they knew that he was a really good guy.
It's always been an issue for New Orleans musicians, I think, about getting out of the city, making a national presence, being able to escape just the iconoclastic nature of New Orleans. How did Cato do?
New Orleans has never had much of a music industry infrastructure. There's a lot of talent here, but as far as record labels and publicists and the other people who would really send somebody's career up to the national or international level, there's not a lot of that here. There never has been. In Cato's case, Minute Records got a distribution deal with Imperial Records, which was a huge national label. They had Fats Domino at the time, Ricky Nelson, Slim Whitman. They got all the benefit of being with a huge label that when Imperial sent out records to radio stations, there was a very high probability that they would be played. If Cato had stayed on Minute Records and Minute Records had not had the national distribution deal, I don't think Mother-in-Law would have been a national hit. It would have been a regional hit. And he had other records that are regional hits and are still very popular today. But in his particular case, being affiliated with one of the biggest and most successful record companies at that time was the critical difference.
Did he tour the country a lot?
Yeah, he was on the R&B package shows. He played Cincinnati, played the Cincinnati Gardens with, I think, Jerry Butler and the Coasters and a couple of other artists. He was on the sort of the Apollo Theater circuit for a couple of years while he was hot. He never had another big hit after Mother-in-Law, and after a couple of years, he was no longer on that circuit because you have to stay in the top 10 to keep working that circuit. But for a couple of years there, absolutely, he played the Howard Theater in Washington, the Regal Theater in Chicago, all the places where a top-tier rhythm and blues artist would perform.
A lot of the arrangements of his songs, I think, were a lot more complex than people are used to, and I think that caught people's ears.
They're deceptively simple in a way. They sound simple, but there's a lot going on in them. Alan Toussaint wrote many of Cato's songs, and he produced and arranged all the ones that he did for Minute. Those records, in terms of production, setting aside Cato's performance, but just in terms of production, those records are little jewels. And there's a lot going on in them, but nothing sounds cluttered. Nothing gets in the way of anything else. Everything comes and goes just at the right time. Those records do not sound at all dated today. So they're really masterfully done. And Alan Toussaint was only 20, 21 years old at the time.
Cato had some rough times, though, didn't he?
He did. After he had this huge hit with Mother-in-Law, made a lot of money, and like most 25-year-olds in any business, he didn't really know how to watch the money. When the hits did not keep coming, he couldn't maintain the star lifestyle that he had created, and he fell on very bad times. He lost his house. He lost his car. He got divorced. He was living on the streets for a time, actually quite a long time. So he had some very, very rough decades. But he never gave up. He always believed that another hit record was just around the corner. And his second wife just about literally picked him up out of the gutter and revived his career and got him to cut way, way back on his drinking and opened a club named for his big hit, the Mother-in-Law Lounge. So he had some very bad times, but the last 8 years or so of his life was markedly different. He was very, very happy and got a lot of gratification and recognition that he had lacked for so long.
I don't think the city ever gave up on him.
No, the city never gave up on him, but there was a time when he was such a drunk and would show up loaded or show up late. The city didn't give up on him in terms of his fan base, but most clubs were understandably reluctant to hire him because he was a mess. As far as his popularity, no, his popularity never diminished. And that's why when he came back, he still had his old audience, and then he had this very unlikely audience of kids who were born 20, 25 years after Mother-in-Law came out, who really had no idea who he was, but they sort of worshipped him like he was a deity from another planet or something.
People that enjoy Cato and his music or want to listen more to Cato outside of Mother-in-Law and A Certain Girl and tunes that we may all know, you have any one box set or set of records that you know?
There's a two CD set that came out about a year ago. The title of it is Here Come the Girls, and it was released on a British label, Charlie Records. It's available at better record stores in town. Probably that place over in Northside would have it, I would imagine. And you could order it online. So that's the best and most recent collection of Cato material that's out there right now. And it doesn't have everything, but it has all the minute material, and it has hits from other labels that he recorded for. So it's well worthwhile, and it's a fun two CD set to have, definitely.
Well, Ben Sandmel, your book was a joy to read, and I want to thank you for being with us here today on Around Cincinnati.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Ben Sandmel's Ernie Cato, the R&B Emperor of New Orleans, is really a quintessential history of the last 50 years of music in New Orleans. It's a great read, thoroughly researched, and a wonderful gift for somebody that cares about New Orleans music and the music of America. For Around Cincinnati, I'm David Delegater.
I want all the Naugahydes under the sound of my voice. Bun, Cato, Bun. I want all the Naugahydes to call me up. Let me wish you a very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. Oh, it's so good to say that you have a Naugahyde that you can call on. I love diamond clothes and money. I love that. But my Naugahyde beat all of that. When I get the aching in my body, my Naugahyde, she puts her hands on my body. Anything that's ailing me, she take care of it very well. I think every man and every woman in the world ought to have a Naugahyde that say this is mine and mine alone. You stepping when you won't make me mad. Let me catch you mess with my Naugahyde. It's something about my Naugahyde. I get disturbed. And when the Cato get disturbed, he really is disturbed. You hear what I'm saying? So I'm going to say it like this. Wherever you may be, Opelousas, Port Allen, Baton Rouge, Gonzales, Lake Charles, Sweetboat, let me tell you one thing. I'm going to do it some more. Oh, I'm going to do it to come through your air hole, because you got to hear what I say.